Past Legends. Past Legends.
Tonight, we are privileged to have Keith Thomas with us. A casual 304 games, 306 goals for Nord, 5 state games, 28 games for Fitzroy, Nord Football Club Life Member, Nord Football Club Hall of Fame, Nord Team of the Century, SNFL Hall of Fame, Premiership Player in 82-84, Advertiser Team of the Year, 82-83-84, Best and Fairest, of course, the Jack Odie Medal, where he dominated the 84 Grand Final, and probably the most significant one, Keith is the only life member of both the Nord and Port Adelaide Football Club, which is a huge significance. We will obviously cover that. Welcome aboard, KT.
Well, thank you very much. It seems like a long time ago, all of that stuff, but it's nice to reflect on it a bit.
Yeah.
Mate, thanks for joining us tonight. We like to get a bit of a sense from all of our guests as to, you know, sort of where you started your footballing journey as a young fella.
I was a bit of a, it felt like a bit of a late start. I was more interested in basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, at the time thought I was pretty good, actually, as I recall. It turned out not to be so, but I thought it was okay. That's so I started in late primary school, you know, pretty normal. I had a very good first coach in Keith Cooch, played through high school. I played for the Athelstan Footy Club, junior footy. I was actually talking to their club president last week, and I said to him that I was unable to make their under 16 B side. As I was just about to embark upon my Norwood journey, and it was just one of those things. I was a bit too small. I think I could play a little bit, but I was very small, and I just wasn't making the side. So then I went out to Norwood, played in their under 17 side, and then in 1979 I played as a 17 year old. I played under 19s, reserves, and league in that year, and got going.
Of course, you're 79 too. Of course, you're Campbelltown High School as well. Mm-hmm. With Tony Foster, so you would have been the aggressive ball getter there against TF, mate. TF will like that mention. So they're arriving at Nord, and you then had that spurt and went through in 79. Now, your debut, you did make an error, KT. Yeah.
Well, before we get to that, was there a bit of a disagreement with family member in whether you were playing for Nord or should be playing for Nord?
Yeah, he's there was. To start with, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. There was. So my dad was a red-hot Port Adelaide man. He,
as you were as well, yes.
So was I. He was born and bred in Brompton, and he was absolutely dead keen on moving the family, actually, into the Port Adelaide zone when he started to get an inkling that something might happen. And so... When I was invited out to train with the Norwood Juniors, I was playing at Athelstan, and he was involved at Athelstan at that point, and he was dead against me going out, didn't think that I would make it. And so I ended up, you know, having to catch the bus after school just to go and train with them, because I felt like it was disrespectful to say no to the invitation, even though he was right. I never played in the juniors at that stage, but it was a lot to do with his Port Adelaide leaning, I think, and the fact that he liked me playing at Athelstan, and because he liked that social aspect up there. It was probably a little bit early for me anyway, but I just felt like I needed to respect the offer.
I agree with you too there, KT, in terms of who's to know whether you would have been invited out the next year if you'd not backed the invitation in the first place. So,
I was always worried about that. And I reckon you don't take these things for granted. You know, you just don't assume that they're going to keep turning up. So I was pretty determined, and I did that for a year and never played a game, but I was happy to do it.
I think you just get a big tick for things like that too. Like, I've got to be honest, young Michael Annie Max, when Max missed out a Nord's grand final side in 22, now you know as well as anyone, KT, the person who quite often misses out, the dummy lands about Gawler and they mope they mope around like anything.
Yeah.
Where Max missed out, and he was as encouraging as anyone before the game and involved, and
yeah,
that got a big tick from everyone around. And you know how, you know, in South Australia where the footy world spreads like wildfire, you know, I reckon that was around within an hour of the bounce. Hey, Kay, how good was Michael Annie, his attitude in that? So, I do reckon you got it right. And let's go to your league debut, KT. Now, I've always had a thought there too where I don't think Bob Hammond was brilliant with juniors. He was more the established player. But also, I do think Bob was under pressure. Just because we'd gone top in 78, I'd spent a fortune on that. And Wally, to his his everlasting day, always said the 1979 list was, in his opinion, the strongest list Nord ever had. So I reckon he was probably under the pump there as well. So, yeah, you debut at Glenelg. We lose convincingly, and you don't get a run.
0 minutes.
It was staggering.
Yeah, how's this? Yeah, so it gets better. Like, so I, these things, that took me by surprise. Firstly, getting picked. Aishi was injured, so I came in to replace him. It was a wet day. I sat on the bench with Wayne Phillips all day.
That's right, it was Wayne Phillips,
The whole family comes in from everywhere. They're standing up in the rain at the Glenelg Oval. And as you say, we were getting beaten very comfortably. And I thought, you know, there's got to be a chance that I'll come on at some stage. And anyway, so I'm wearing these pristine white shorts. And and the game ends. And I walk into the change room. And like, I'm 17. I don't know anyone. I hadn't trained with the league side. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, do I shower? What do I do? You know, like, and anyway, so then I got dropped. Aishi came back, and I came back three or so weeks later. Yeah. I think it might have been the last minor round game, and I sat on the bench for the first three quarters of that game as well.
Yeah.
So that's seven quarters in a row of league footy without going on, and Bob finally let me on. Now, one of my regrets was that before Bob passed, I never actually asked him how he felt about me as a player. I landed on the view that it's quite possible that Wally or someone in the selection panel saw something in me, wanted to give me a shot, but Bob may not necessarily have been over the line on it. And he didn't have a great deal of confidence, but I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not.
But I think he almost answered that in the end. I reckon you're right there, Keith, but he did pick you to play almost the toughest role in football. You stood the late, great Robbie Flower in a state game then. And I thought you did a reasonable job too, KT, that game. And South Australia won, and, you know, you had
it was a great
game, but it was almost the old-fashioned wing battle too. And you still got a lot of the ball yourself, but, geez, you did stand an absolute champion. You know, he's one of the all-time greats. So I think in picking you and the player you got to stand, I think in the end Bob might have gone, hey, I reckon I might have got that one wrong.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Mav. I've never actually sort of joined those two dots, but there is something in that. You know, it was probably that was in 83, and standing Robbie. I remember Robbie taking a hanger, on the halfback flank, and then landing, and then taking off,
and then just bolting
five times down, and then kicking a goal. And I'm chasing him all the way, and thinking, this is the best footy I've ever seen. He was fantastic. So that day was. One of the great highlights of my time in footy. I remember running out first state game, you know, big crowd.
Yeah, it was. And the atmosphere was alive. It really was.
It was the first time I'd ever experienced 100% support.
Yeah.
And for the team. And I couldn't feel my legs, you know, that for a quarter. So it was just a fantastic experience, that one.
Can we just go back to your, obviously, debuts there? Was that something that you wanted to do? It was a goal? Was it something that you sort of just kept chipping away at and then the opportunity presented itself?
I never, and this is true even today, mm-hmm. I never really set clear goals that I'm shooting for.
Okay, that's interesting. Considering you're such an organised person, fastidious in your preparation, etc. Yes, that's interesting.
I don't lock in on. Okay, I'm going to play league footy by this time. What I always concentrated on and was doing at the time was, I'm just going to train and play and do everything I can as best I can. And I'm going to try as hard as I can. And if I just stay true to that, we'll see what happens. And that's really how I've approached going forward. What it tends to do, in my view, is that when I got that call for that debut, it was a complete shock. I was just doing it. But you're not overwhelmed by it. But you're not overwhelmed by the expectation either, because I hadn't really thought of it in those terms. Yes, of course you're thinking league football is where the end goal, where it goes. But I wasn't obsessing about it at all.
Yep.
I never really do.
So then to 80, Barmy arrives, and I think Barmy's personality suited your personality perfectly and was always going to be a good marriage. Despite the fact when Barmy got appointed, all of us at Norwood, you know, I remember the night he was introduced and everyone's thinking, what the hell have we, we've appointed this Richmond madman. And honestly, I reckon Barmy had won us all over very, very quickly. Now, and then in 80 KT, and I want to go to a game here, and it's quite deliberate here, because I've spoken about this to you about this game, and I reckon this game is spoken about amongst the Nord playing group as much as finals and premierships. The game against North Adelaide in 80, where we saw the greatest in all his glory. Now, Barry Weirs came out in the ground, big, huge knee brace, moving about my pace now, Pete, and to say he was best on ground by the length of the Flemington straight was ridiculous. And I remember you said to me one day, you said, Malcolm, I had no idea that Barry was that physical. I said to you, bloody oath he was, KT. He was ruthless. Just because he was so brilliant, he was ruthless as well. And Barry kicked four that day, and I reckon you stood the mark for his torpedo goal to KT. Yes.
I did. He hit a low torp from outside centre half forward, and I remember because he was bigger than I thought. You know, he's quite a big player.
Yep.
Very good low to the ground.
Yes.
And in the air, right? And so I'm learning about this guy as I'm watching him. You know, I think, gee, okay, there's a lot to this package. But what I've always loved about Barry is just
he's so modest, isn't he?
Yeah. And how humble he is. You know, he talks really, really nicely about the mark that I took in 84. You know, he talks very, very, sort of glowingly about that. And he doesn't need to do that.
No.
You know,
get Barry about his own sporting career, you get nothing.
Yeah. No.
The thing he most likes talking about of his sporting career is batting with Barry Richards.
Yep.
And he opened the batting with Barry Richards for Prospect.
Yes.
And he'll happily talk Barry Richards for hours. But good luck.
I know firsthand that he loves his lawn bowls too, and he's very competitive there. But when you get him off the green, he's just an absolute pleasure to talk to.
Oh, he is. And yeah, so he's the sort of athlete that I really admire and enjoyed talking to and listening to. And in that 83 state program,
yes, that's right. He was selector, wasn't he? Yes. Yeah.
Well, I found myself in Perth kicking with Russell Ebert and Barry Robran, and I've got a feeling Blight was maybe a bit 85 or so, I don't know, but there was the three of them, right? And I'm thinking, what's going on? What am I doing here?
Yeah.
And it was incredible. Just in the warm up, in the warm up before the game, and I think, gee whiz, this is royalty here.
Now, mate, you just talked about the 1980 sort of when Barmy arrives, but we did miss one little part. You almost ended up in Tasmania. How did that How did that all sort of come about?
Wally quickly ended that, KT.
Oh man! So the great late Wally Miller stitched me up on two big occasions in my career, and every player, whoever went through the system, has a couple of these stories. So I walked in in that year, the start of that year, and I said to him, "Look, my parents have hooked up a career for me in Tasmania. They know people in a nursery, and I'm going to fly down there, and they're going to build me up, and one day I'm going to manage it, and I'm pretty much on my way." And I'd said my goodbyes at school and all that sort of stuff, and all my schoolmates, and Wally said, no, we're a great club, we're really well connected, we'll fix you up with a job, don't worry about that, and you won't need to go anywhere. So I was playing under 19s at the time, and the coach was Malcolm Smith.
Yes.
Very hard.
Great man.
And he gave me his address, and he said, turn up here 7 o'clock Monday morning, and he'll take you to work and start with him. Well, the job was at Virginia, and it was with the Metro Meats sort of center for where live sheep would be brought in on a train, fattened up, and then they would be packed off and on a ship and go to Iran or wherever it is. And so I'm driving up to Virginia with Mal's the coach, he was tough as nails and gave you nothing. And my first job, right? I kid you not. My job was to crawl, the train would come in into the farm.
Yep.
And my job was to crawl through the carriages and pull out any dead sheep in the piss and the shit on the bottom of the roof, crawl through.
I bet, I reckon Kingo would have done it before you too.
Yeah, Kingo and Albert.
Yeah.
Tens of players have gone through that system.
Yeah.
And, I think I worked there for about 4 months or so, and hell, it toughened me up, it was, he gave me some of the most unbelievable jobs you could ever imagine. And I'm sure it was all part of the grand plan, just
toughen earn your keep, toughen them up. Yep.
We often do a bit of background checking here on some of our guests, and we come up with some pretty good, interesting facts. Malcolm's got a couple here in front of him he's going to read out, and I'm dying to hear about them.
Now, KT, if you can remember this, I have found an old interview from Footy Times of, the player profile. Now, what do you reckon you answered with with your hobbies?
I don't know.
You're swallowing tadpoles, KT. Bird breeding.
Yeah. Where does that come from?
Bird breeding.
Bird breeding. Yep. That was what you answered. Yep.
Well, I'm still a bird breeder. Jack Cale and I crawl around in the aviaries catching finches and birds and swapping birds to this day. Finches and parrots and quails and Jack and I have got that in common.
Jeez, I thought I was going to stitch you up with that more. You've given us some beauty. You've knocked me over with that one. Don't worry, we will get to the famous one with Pat too as well. You know, you knew that I'd bring that up.
Well, have we got a couple of other things on that list that are well worth having a bit of a shout about?
Oh, I think on your favourite other sport, tennis would still be there, and table tennis and squash. I don't think anything's changed there. Relaxing at home. So
did I hear about a schnitzel, a parmy,
I don't reckon much would change there.
Farmers Union iced coffee.
Again, I don't think too much would have changed there. Yep. I notice here, and he does listen to our show. So your biggest influence on your career, as you said, Mal Smith, but Neil Baum, but John Turnbull getting a mention. I thought in mentioning JT was interesting there, Kato.
Johnny Turnbull was again. What I think about is who are the people in the really early formative years who instill something in you that wasn't there, needed to be there, and ultimately made a big difference. And you know, John Turnbull, it was very similar in a way to Mal Smith.
Yes.
You know, they were. Yep. As I entered the Norwood system, they were the two guys that took hold of me, and it was just tough. It wasn't about the skills. It wasn't about, you know, the running power or anything like that. It was about this is what it takes to compete at this level.
Liking this podcast? Please like, rate, and subscribe.